The good news of Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of Christ. In the name of God, who lives among us, sustains us, and draws us into one. Amen. That wondrous passage from Amos, read so beautifully by Marjorie, answers the question, when is a bowl of fruit not a bowl of fruit? Amos is holding a bowl of fruit, and God says, "What do you see?" And he says, "A bowl of fruit." He says, "Nope. That is the history of Israel in your hand." Sometimes what we think we see isn't always there. Do you know what these are? Let's see if I can separate them. Yep. So those of you who cannot see, these are those little, they're ubiquitous. They're in every office in the world. These little metal black sprung folded things with the steel pinchers that you can separate them. You know, what are these? Binders. Okay? These are binders. They were invented, would you believe, in 1910? These have been around that long, over 100 years. And they were invented by a man whose father was an author, and papers were always all over the place. So he invented these just so he could put his father's things in order and that he could have access to pages in the middle without having to tear them out. So they had a really good purpose. But one day, somebody, somewhere, looked at this and had a need. It wasn't to bind a stack of paper, but maybe it was to manage all of the computer cables that were coming out of the back of his computer. Or maybe someone thought, hey, this will be a great money clip. Or I can put it in such a position that I can put my cell phone up against it and keep my hands free. Somebody said, hey, this is perfect for mounting pictures. All you have to do is put the little steel thing up there and then you can hang the picture on it. Or maybe somebody thought it was a potato chip bag sealer upper. Or somebody needed to pinch their pants because they were falling down too much and they needed something to make the pants thinner on them. They're great, by the way, to hold razor blades and shavers. You can put them in that little section. The blade is protected. You won't cut yourselves if you're putting them in suitcases. They're a tea bag saver, too. You can bind socks together for laundry. Imagine, though, if somebody said, no, that is a binder clip. You can't do that. It's meant for one thing and one thing only. In Luke's gospel today, did you take close notice of what Martha was asking of Jesus? Whatever it was that was her need, she turned to him and said, hey, Jesus, I'm not getting my needs met, and I want you to meet them for me. She was not taking responsibility for her own needs. He does not intervene. Did you notice? But he makes Martha responsible for her own needs. Look, Mary's doing what she wants to do. She has chosen something. And what she's chosen is to be. And you've chosen to not be. Dishes? Well, they're dull. Cooking is tedious, she might say. Martha sees those chores in the kitchen as something less, as a burden. She sees them as a separate thing from the welcome of Christ that she extended into her home. Did you see in the beginning of the passage it says, Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, and then she's in the kitchen doing something, and she's not happy. She's not satisfied. Jesus invites her to see that doing the dishes is not just doing dishes like a bowl of fruit. It means something else. If you have the eyes to see it. Anything you do with the knowledge that it is another opportunity to serve God or to serve the cause of Christ is a good thing. You might ask, how can I see Christ when I'm doing dishes or at work or caring for my spouse? As long as you did it for the least of them, you've done it for me. You all are in the process of a profile making. The process that begins to call your next dean. I propose for you a dialogue that has, perhaps, already happened in that community of people drawing up the profile. It might go something like this. Hey, how do we get more people into the church? What do we have to do to convince young people that they should come to church? We need a dean who's going to bring people into the church. Well, how would they come? Why would they join an institution that doesn't meet any of their needs? Well, look, the church has always been there doing the same thing. It has one purpose. I didn't ask the church to change when I became a part of it. People just went because we should. You went because it was a social norm. But that's not the case anymore. Our evangelization cannot be, come to church because you should. Then what are we supposed to do? Thriving organizations meet people's needs. Oh, I get it. So we're supposed to provide iPads and have guitars and drums for Sunday service. No offense. No, the entertainment model of church is a bad idea. It's proven ineffective on its own. Following Christ is about service, not about being entertained. The early church was about people meeting needs. No, it was about sharing the gospel message. Perhaps those are the same. If we preach a loving God to people with an empty stomach, that preaching feels pretty hollow. From the beginning, the church members shared all their possessions, so no one went without. Yeah, that was back then. Things are different now. Even in our grandparents' generation, the church was still very much about meeting people's needs. It was a social hub, a place where people could come and learn how to read or find a doctor. It served as a social safety net before the government provided many of the programs we have today. So, the church has to figure out what other purpose it serves. How do we discover what others need? They need Jesus. And how would you show them Jesus in your actions? People need integration into their communities. New immigrants need food to accommodate their tastes and their welcome. We could provide space for and assist agencies to feed the hungry, provide legal services, receive advocacy. Well, that sounds like a lot of work. It is. Being a Christian is a lot of work, but it is so good for the soul. That's what this is all about. Well, why don't people just come and join us? Jesus never made people come to him. He went out to them and healed them and fed them. As a result, people wanted to hear why he was doing these things. People trusted him because he helped them first. And then he preached to them about the way of love. So, the church is not monolithic. It is not just one thing. Not one service meant to meet all needs. As you prepare yourselves to present yourselves to the world, you have to present yourself as being in the struggle of finding out who it is, who you are as a people, committed to the searching for ways to make the gospel of Christ alive and vital, as a force for change, and looking to make progress for the kingdom of God in the Quad Cities. In the past, it was enough for us to look at the church as many people look at paper binders. As one single thing, having one purpose. Brothers and sisters, salvation comes from two things. We have been saved from hell, from judgment, from sin. That's part of it. But if that's your only story, it's clear that your journey is still in the early infancy stages. The real question isn't, what did Jesus save me from? It's, what did Jesus save me for? Salvation is being saved for justice, for healing, for mercy, for feeding and for housing, for love in a community that looks like Jesus. The church, like the work of Jesus, is not our get-out-of-hell-free card. It is the medicine and the strength we need to live like heaven is here and now. Jesus did not save us to keep us safe. Jesus saved us to make us dangerous. Dangerous to evil, dangerous to despair, dangerous to anything that keeps people isolated or marginalized, unloved or hungry. You are not just rescued. like Martha now, you have been commissioned to do Christ's work. Whether it's in kitchens that feed and nourish people, or doing Christ's work by sitting at his feet and finding the imagination to do more. Amen.